On this week's Xamarin Show, I have my good friend Matthew all the way from Australia showing off M Fractor for Windows. It's an awesome extension. Don't miss out, so tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to the Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno. Today, I have my best friend in the entire world, all the way from beautiful Australia, Matthew Robbins. How's it going, buddy?
I'm great, James. How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I wish I could be in Australia right now, but I'm here in, you know, Seattle, Washington. I hear that you have some awesome stuff because this is not your first time on the Xamarin Show. It's been a while, but you're back with some goodies, and I'm excited.
It has been a while. So this is my third time on the Xamarin Show. And this is a really, really special one because the first two times we're focusing on M-Fractor for Mac, and I have been trying and working on this product for quite a long time now, and something that the community really, really wanted was M-Fractor for Windows. So we released that in February, and I'm here to demo it today, which is really, really cool.
Awesome. Now, first, if people don't know what M-Fractor is and why you wanted to bring it to Windows, I'll, of course, link to all the old episodes below, but maybe do the 30 to 60 second pitch of M-Fractor.
Yeah, absolutely. So M-Fractor is a powerful productivity tool for Xamarin developers. So what we're trying to solve is really all the little paper cuts in mobile development, basically making your life easier to build high quality applications. So things like spotting issues in your XAML before they come and bite you and cause bugs, making it easier to work with image assets, refactoring your XAML, and really trying to make it a lot easier for you so that you can write high-quality code the first time and focus more on, you know, writing a great app for your customers.
Yeah, I love it. I love productivity, everything. I think that's one thing that I've seen sort of, you know, with hot reload and hot restart, you know, some of the core fundamental pieces come into play. But then you're right, like IntelliSense and all these other things can help you not only write better code, but be more productive. And I've been using M-Fractor for a long, long time on a Mac, and I'm super excited because I remember early demos from like a year ago of your initial work on Windows. So I'm excited to see what you've come up with. Do you want to just show it off and get into it?
The best way to tell you about it is to just show you what it does.
Let's do it. All right, let's go ahead and get your screen up.
So here we are. We're in a instance of Visual Studio with an M-Fractor installed. And there's already immediately a few things that you might notice that are different about the XAML editor. But I'll kind of give you a quick recap of kind of a couple of the features that I'll be going through just so you can get a high-level overview of what it does. So M-Fractor provides 95-plus XAML analyzers. So they're code inspections that spot lots of different either bugs or runtime problems or compilation issues or just best practices, and then provide suggestions on how to improve those in your XAML. We also have about 100-plus XAML refactorings, so being able to chop and change your XAML. And also a whole bunch of image management tooling. So if you've worked in the Xamarin space for a while, chances are you've had to use an image asset. It can be a bit tricky with everything like the different density versions on Android and iOS. So one of the big focuses on M-Fractor's tooling is just to help that help improve that workflow and make it a bit easier. So that's really the three main things that I'll be going through: analysis, the refactorings, and also the image management tools.
Very cool. Yeah. So it's more than just XAML. Like, there's a whole bunch of other great productivity things factored in, which I love. And I'm already seeing some things right here, so I'm excited for you to walk through them.
Yeah. So two things that you're probably noticing immediately. I'll focus on this one right away. So we have color adornments. This is a relatively new feature at the time of recording. And it's basically giving you a color preview of whatever color is being referenced in the XAML. So in this case, it's slate gray, and hovering over it will also give me a tooltip. But it's really, really cool because it means you can look at your XAML, see the word slate gray, and then a direct visualization of that color. And one of the things that I really love about this feature is I can click on the color adornment and it launches a picker.
Oh, cool.
So I can go straight in and I can chop and change and tweak that particular color. And I'll just grab that section because I'm going to need that. Well, I'll just take it back. And this also works for static resources. So say I move this, I'm using an mFactor refactoring now. I move this color into a local resource. So we'll call that, let's call that text color.
Oh, cool. Look at this. So literally you had the color down there and now you right clicked, got some refactoring on top of it and then moved it into a static resource. So if people just didn't see what happened there, you've created a reusable color for your entire application that you've called text color here.
Yeah, that's right. And it says that I put that in the app.xaml. So let's just open that file back up actually. So had I put that in the app.xaml, this now becomes available through the whole application. And we have analyzers that will go through and detect if this color matches other definitions.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was a color literal, for instance, like FF00FF, the lovely magenta color that we all know and love, if I were to reuse that color literal, so we have analyzers that will go through and match against static resources. So this particular analyzer, it's detecting that there's a global resource named text color, and it will allow me to go through and fix that. So I can just click on one of these little helper links, and it will go through and apply it for me.
Oh, that's so nice because, you know, probably you start to move one color or one thing up and then you got to update it everywhere. Just literally easily just change it. That's really cool.
It's very, very useful. And this also applies to styles. So we have a tool called the style extraction tool. So I can press option return or alt enter. And this will activate mFractor's refactorings to come out. And I can choose extract style. Bit of a display weirdness there. And if I call that label style, and we'll place this into the main page. So extract that. Just to kind of recap on what that did. It has pulled out all of the properties in that particular entry. And gone through and made a style for it. So style name, label style, targeting an entry. Possibly not the best naming there, but little confusing. But, you know, let's keep our developers on our toes here.
Well, the nice thing is that you could probably change that name now and then it'll reflect everywhere too. But I don't know if I'm going to challenge you just.
You know what? Let's just fix the name.
There we go.
And you'll notice here that there's a little squiggle that's come into this other entry. So we have a really, really powerful feature called style analysis. So when you're declaring styles throughout your application, we'll go ahead and try to match those to existing elements. So if you've got, you know, a style called entry style that has these three attributes, and then you recreate the same element with those three same attributes, the matching style analysis will go through and basically discover that there's an intersection there. And what's really handy here is that I can now click on this little hyperlink called apply entry style, and it will remove the properties and align it with that original entry style that we just made. So it's really, really useful for basically standardizing and cleaning up your application. And now, you know, the bonus of styles is I can change something once here. So once in this entry style, and everything that uses it now gets those that kind of setting.
That's really nice. And in fact, one of the other features that you didn't even talk about that I noticed just as you were using the tool is that while this sort of style is here locally, it could be in your app.xaml, it could be in another file, right? But when you hovered over the entry style on your entry, it actually showed you like what is going to apply. And I thought that was so nifty because how am I going to remember everything that I applied later, you know, from a month ago, but I can just hover over it here and then see what it's actually going to be. And if I wanted to override, I could do that there. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's just, it's super, super handy just being able to like peek through and get a full view of what it does.
Very nice. I need to clean up all of my code now because I can't tell you how many styles I'm missing. And I just like duplicate code because it's so easy to just copy and paste and copy and paste over and over again because you're just trying to, you're trying to get your code done. But, you know, if you just had a right click go, then boom, it's good to go. That's cool.
And it's just the way things are. It drifts over time, and great tooling should help you, I guess, bring it back into order and make it really easy for you to do. So that's something that we're really trying to put an emphasis on. You know, we understand that things get messy over time, and we're here to help you clean it up.
Very cool.
Quickly and easily. And I want to actually, now that we're kind of on the XAML analysis note, I want to highlight one of my favorite features. And this is kind of like the thing that everyone kind of knows us for. So we can do what's called a view model association. So rather than having to explicitly declare what a view model is for a page or a control, we have a whole bunch of rules around naming conventions that does automatic association. So in this case, main page, main view model, if you drop the page and the view model of each of those different components, you would infer that they're related. So main view model will be used for main page. And because we can infer that relationship, we can do we can do binding analysis, which is really, really cool. Because it means all of a sudden, every time you use a binding expression, we can verify that it exists and it is going to work as expected in runtime.
Oh, cool.
So I have, this entry that binds the username. However, the username doesn't exist in my main view model. So I can quickly jump to that using another mFractor tool called GoToViewModel. So if I right-click in the file, I can use GoToViewModel, and it will take me straight to the file.
Ah, nifty. It's empty. That seems like a problem.
So possibly not going to work as expected. So let's fix that up. Let's close that down and go back into it. So I can hover over and click on the hyperlink to generate a new property. Likewise, I can do the same with password. And likewise, so let's just verify they're going in as expected. Oh yeah, there they are. And likewise, I can do the same with my login command. And you notice you get two different options here. One is to generate a command and one's to generate a property. The only real difference is that a command generates a whole bunch of boilerplate for us. So I'll go ahead and click on that. And I now have a login command, a password and a username. And mFractor should be happy as Larry now.
There we go. All the squiggles are gone. Yay.
Yep. So all fixed.
Very cool.
So really, really useful because it now means, say that I, for whatever reason, I misspelled that as login command with a lowercase l. mFractor is going to immediately spot that that's a problem and give me all those different options to repair it, including suggesting a match. So I can click on login command and it will go through and apply that fix straight onto it.
That's super nice because I was just going to ask you, like, what if I typo something? Because sometimes you don't want to generate a new problem, a property, it exists already. And it seems as though you've thought about that ahead of time and offered little recommendations. That's nifty. I've often spelled command with like one M, you know. So I hope that refactoring's in there. If it's not, I guess I can put it to a test right now.
I'm writing it down. It's on the feature list.
So that'd be cool.
Always growing feature list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very there we cool. go. I've just kind of drifted into another feature as well. Another common problem, you're referencing an image asset. How do you know what it's referring to? So we have, an image called XDS, so Xamarin Developer Summit, which is one of my favorite conferences of all time, happened last year. And mFractor allows us to hover over an image source and get a kind of a sneak peek into what that will be. So I can hover over basically any image source and it'll render out what that image will look like. And like with the analysis on the data bindings, if I misspell an image reference, it will also do matching. It'll basically detect when image references aren't valid and either ask you to import a new reference or match against an existing one. So again, I can do alt return or one of the hover tooltips and replace it to fix the issue.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that's nifty too, that it's not just on properties, but on images and just about anything else.
Yeah, so we've got 95 of these different analysis routines, and they grow constantly. Basically, as I find things that sting me, or you know, my friends and colleagues find things that sting them, we go ahead and add them.
Yeah, so it's kind of like as you've developed apps in the past, or as you're developing the, you know, going forward, like you're like, oh, this could be nice, this could be nice, and then you just add it in there. That's really cool.
Yeah, yep. And speaking of this could be nice, one of the problems that we're experiencing recently is that when you're using grids, so looking at the locations of rows and columns, being able to maintain and understand where the indices are. So I'll quickly go ahead and convert the stack layout to a grid. This is an inventor refactoring, by the way. So I can do, what happened there? So I can do option enter and convert stack layout to grid. And it will go ahead and convert that vertical stack layout into a vertical grid. And you'll see on each of the row definitions, we've got this little adornment at the start of it.
Mm.
So this is really, really cool because it basically gives us a visualization of what the index is going to be for each row and column. And I can click on one of those and it will copy that actual syntax to clipboard.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So yeah, very, very useful for just getting a quick sneak peek and understanding, basically reducing the cognitive load of working with a grid.
Yeah, there's so many times when you have so many grids and columns and you add one in, you're like, which one was it? And you go there. I think you went into full screen mode at the very, very top up there. I have no idea how to get out of full screen mode of Visual Studio. Never seen that, but now you're there.
There we go.
I don't know what keystroke you did, but it's magical if you ever want to go into full screen Visual Studio.
I'm not a Windows native per se. I do a bit of development in Windows, but sometimes when that happens, I'm just like, I'm going to roll with it until James bails me out.
There you go. That's what I'm here for. I'm your yep. Visual Studio on Windows digital assistant.
Yep. And we hinted before at image management tooling.
Mm-hmm. So
this is a feature that we actually added last year. And it's something that I really, really love. And it's been in there for so long now that I kind of forget that the first two episodes that we recorded, I couldn't advertise this feature because it didn't exist, but it's amazing, I think. I can right-click on my iOS or Android project and go to this Manage Image Assets shortcut. And this is awesome because this is Zenfractor's image management tool.
Mm.
So this is a solution pad that basically aggregates all the images across your Android, iOS, and UWP projects. And gives you basically a top-down view. So rather than trying to understand what images are stored in your app through each of the different density folders, this will collect them all and provide a summary. So I can go into, say, for instance, this Monkey Fest image, and I can view the different densities in kind of like a summarized form for both Android and iOS.
Oh, cool. And so you can even see the file size, the width and the height and everything about it.
Yeah, so it's very, very handy. And if I don't like one of these particular images, so I don't like this Monkey Fest image, for instance, and I wanted to remove or replace it, like I wanted to, say, quickly resize it or change the name of it, we can use the delete feature.
Mm.
So this will allow us to basically delete every density in one hit. Or if I wanted to import one, I can use the image importer. And so this allows us to import an image in one hit. So if I click on the preview, it will give us a rough idea of what it will generate. So this is a feature that...
And it's like auto-scaling all the images too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been a one of the backbone features on our Mac product for years now. And it was one of the first things. Actually, this was the first feature that we demoed last year at the Xamarin Developer Summit.
That's super nifty, and in fact, that's just a normal iOS and Android goodness, right? Some of the features seems like you have are for Xamarin Forms specifically, but then some for any application.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our heart and where we started is in Xamarin Forms, but what we're experiencing now is we're having people asking us for Blazor features or C#.NET features. So while I might be demonstrating all of the Xamarin specifics or the Xamarin Forms specific features, we're at a position now where we're growing in areas that our customers are requesting. And it's really, really exciting because they're starting to just expand the scope of what the tool does.
That's cool. Yeah, because it's, it's not like, Xamfractor, right? It's, Mfractor. So I guess that M could stand for anything. I don't actually know what it stands for, but
it actually stands for mono refactor. That was where the original name came from. But with Maui, I guess we could now call it Maui refactor.
Yeah, .NET Maui refactor. Yeah, or you could do multi refactor because you'd be refactoring everything. Yep. I don't know. It's whatever you want it to be, really.
Yeah, it should be like M?Refactor.
I don't know if the Google ability of that would be good, but yeah.
Possibly not, but it's just project whatever you want to see on it.
Exactly. Very cool. No, so I like that there's tons of, you only showed a few of the refactorings, obviously, but there's tons built in. We'll put links into the website and also the documentation as well. Do you have anything else you want to show off and highlight on the Windows version?
That's about it. I could keep going, but I don't think that we've got 24 hours to record straight. So
that's true. Well, so breakdown really quick. I know that changes in price happen all the time, but I believe that there's a trial or a free version and a paid version. How does that work with Mfractor?
Yeah. So we have a 30-day trial. So when you install Mfractor now for the first time, you now have 30 days free. With the professional version. So basically every feature that you're seeing in here, in the grid adornments, all the refactorings, the analysis, the color adornments, tooltips, everything that I've shown, that's all part of the professional tier. Mm-hmm. For 30 days, you can use all of that for absolutely free. And it gives you a really good idea of what the tool does. After that, most of those features will cut out. And it will go down to a very kind of lean down version, which is just kind of XAML analysis and some tooltips. Cool. And some IntelliSense improvements.
Nice.
It's kind of different tiers.
Now, if people already had the Mac version, do they get the Windows version? How does that work?
They do. So our serial keys, our license keys, they work on both Mac and Windows. So if you buy Mfractor for Mac, you can use that same license key on Windows and vice versa.
Very cool. That's awesome because I know that there's probably a lot of developers already on the Mac or developers that, spend a lot of time on Windows but have to go to the Mac every once in a while. So it's cool to be able to use the tools everywhere. This is awesome. I can't wait to go install and get everything set up and bring my license key over from my Mac purchase. So I'm excited that I already get it. So that's awesome.
Yes, you do.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for showing off just a few select of the many, many features in Mfractor. And like I said, I will put links to everything and the past videos as well, so you can go check out what you've been missing out on. Matthew, thank you so much for showing it off.
Thanks very much for your time, James. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Of course, you can do all the things that ding the bell, hit subscribe, hit the like button, share with all of your friends. Super duper appreciate it. And until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and this has been The Xamarin Show. Hey, James here. Just wanted to check in and thank you for watching this video. Now do all the things that you know you want to do, such as like, subscribe, and ding that notification bell. Become part of the notification squad. While you're here,
check out all these awesome videos that I've already recorded. Click on that thing. Click it. Watch it. Do it.